Spirit of God, take our minds and think through them. Take these words and speak through them. And set our hearts on fire for love of Thee. Amen. In today's gospel, most preachers would focus on a message of service. For Jesus told the disciples that anyone who wishes to be great among them must be servant. That would be a much more palatable message for our modern tastes, wouldn't you think, than Jesus' call to sacrificial servanthood that follows. And that may be a more timely subject for this sermon, given that this is stewardship season in the church. But today, I'm going to preach on what's missing from our gospel. And we have the compilers of the lectionary to thank for this. Most of the time, I think the compilers, those are the folks who identified the scriptures we read each Sunday, our lectionary. Most of the time, I think they did a pretty good job. The lectionary is rather comprehensive. We cover a great deal of the Bible every 3 years, both Old and New Testaments. And the lectionary aids in our yearly pilgrimage through the life and ministry of Jesus and the church calendar in ways that make sense to me. Preparation for the birth of Jesus and the birth narratives in December during Advent and Christmas. Scriptures recalling the manifestation of God to the world through Jesus Christ during Epiphany. Jesus' temptations in Lent and so on throughout the church year. But today, something is missing, and to me, it's pretty important. There are three verses that are left out of the lectionary from where our gospel ended last week to the beginning of our gospel reading today. Our gospel today begins with those crazy sons of Zebedee, James and John, who asked Jesus a stupid question that gets us all into a bit of a mess. And the mess is whether or not we are able to respond affirmatively, as did those Zebedees, when Jesus asks if we can drink the cup that he drinks or be baptized by the same baptism as he. It is important to point out to you that it's not wine in the cup that Jesus is referring to. And the baptism of which he mentions does not involve water, but both of these are metaphors for his suffering and death on the cross. And that's what's missing from our gospel, the cross. It's alluded to when Jesus speaks of the cup and a particular baptism, and with how our gospel ends, Jesus telling his disciples that his life is to be given as a ransom for others. But in those three verses the lectionary writers left out between last week's gospel and today's, there is no doubt that Jesus is speaking of the cross when he tells the disciples for the third time that he is headed to Jerusalem, where he will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, condemned to death, handed over to the Gentiles who will mock, spit, flog, and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise again. Somehow, the disciples keep missing this. For Jesus has told them twice before in the two preceding chapters of Mark what lies ahead for him, and that to follow him, they must take up their cross, they must be last and servant of all. But they just don't get it. They focus on how great it is to be hanging with the Messiah, debating among themselves who is the greatest and who is going to get the best seats in the house when they're sitting with Jesus in his glory. They miss what Jesus says about the cross. And I wonder if we do too. Every year for the last 20 years or so, there seems to be study after study released that indicates that the church has lost its relevance in our modern society. Some people debate that assertion, but the fact of the matter is that church attendance is down and continues to drop. In a study released last spring by the Pew Research Center on Religion and Public Life, those surveyed who identified themselves as Christians dropped from 78% in 2007 to just 70% in 2014. Over those same 7 years, the largest growth is not in the category of other religions, but in the number of people identifying that they follow no faith at all, sometimes labeled in the media as nuns, as in none of the above. Now that category grew from 16% to almost 23% in this same survey. You may cite several reasons why you believe this is happening, as did the researchers. And many of those reasons have validity. But I think one reason is because we, the church, have missed or downplayed the importance, the relevance of the cross. The cross is both symbol and source of our salvation. It might not be popular these days to talk about salvation, but our faith asserts that Jesus' suffering and death on the cross and his resurrection brought about our salvation once and for all. So, does that mean that you and I just get to kick back and relax because we've got the best seats in the house, the ones James and John were angling for? What is the relevance of the cross for us in the context of our lives? But not just in our lives, but in the lives of those who are not sitting here in these or any other pews. The relevance beyond salvation, the relevance is that we all have crosses to bear. No, we won't be crucified on them as Jesus was, but we do have crosses. Some are exceedingly painful, others are just hard. Maybe it's an illness or just a difficult time at school or on the job. Perhaps it's a challenging or maybe just a wearying relationship, or the loss of a loved one, or the loss of a vision for our lives. We all will have crosses to bear at some point or other in our lives. If we don't think that we do right now, we will, at the very least, face our own suffering and death. And that's a cross that no one can avoid. No one can miss. While I was chaplain in residence last week at Camp Allen, my clerical caller drew people to me. One young woman was struggling with the grief of a major loss in her life and the desire to not be a needy, weepy mess among her friends while at Camp Allen. Shame and grief are common crosses we bear, but how much better to bear our crosses with others, others who are trudging along themselves with equally heavy crosses. Why is it so hard for us to be honest with one another, to be vulnerable? That should be one of the gifts of Christian community. We cannot take away one another's heavy load, but somehow just being able to share our deep struggles with another seems to lighten the load. In fact, you and I should get together for coffee sometime, and you can tell me of your cross, and I will tell you of mine. The relevance of the cross is that our suffering, however small or large, is not ours alone to bear. Being in community helps, but there's much more. We can look with hope to the historical event of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection some 2,000 years ago, confident that from each particular cross we bear, we will experience resurrection and new life in some small or large way, not to mention eternal life at some point. But Jesus' suffering on the cross transcends time. His crucifixion, death, and resurrection is not just a one-time event that happened long ago, but God continues to experience suffering through our suffering. Remember, this is Emmanuel, God with us. The difficulties and challenges we experience throughout our lives are not only us sharing in Christ's suffering, but Christ sharing our suffering as well. This pattern of suffering, death, and new life is known as the Paschal Mystery. And the grace of the Paschal Mystery is that we are not alone in bearing our crosses. Christ participates and shares in our suffering, a suffering that sometimes may feel like death, but from which we can have confidence of receiving new life, renewed life. Another person I spoke with at Camp Allen told me of a life of separation from God. To this day, he is burdened by how much of his life was spent far away from God, pursuing his own life agenda, doing everything he could to sidestep pain and heartache. Until one day he was confronted by pain he could not avoid and discovered the life-giving cross. That by embracing the cross, his cross, he embraced God, and that through this shared suffering, he came to know God. Now this man sees the challenges in his life as opportunities to deepen his knowledge and love of God, as Christ and he are bound more deeply together by their shared suffering. We need to be careful that we don't miss those crosses in our lives or fail to embrace our crosses. That is indeed a message of relevance for our daily lives, and a message of relevance for all those nuns who are not sitting with us today. For if we do miss these crosses, we miss the opportunity to experience the transforming love